Cooking the Books, Corbyn's Crumbs of Comfort. We will only fix the crisis in our society with a mass redistribution of wealth and power. That means taxing the very richest in our society, tweeted Corbyn on the 24th of July, announcing the launch of a new political party. That sounds radical. But a mass redistribution of wealth is not the same as a massive redistribution. Only a redistribution to some mass of people. Interpreted literally, it would mean that some of the wealth of the very richest is to be taken from them through taxation and distributed amongst a large number of individuals. Let us say from the top 1% to those in the bottom 50%. According to the Office for National Statistics, in the April 2020 to March 2022 period, the wealthiest 1% of households held 10% of all household wealth in Great Britain, which was the same as the proportion held by the least wealthy 50% of households combined. The wealth tax proposed by former Labour leader Neil, now Lord Kinnock, and others of 2% of wealth holdings of over £2 million has been estimated to raise £24 billion a year. The total number of households in the UK is about 28 million, so 50% is 14 million. £24 billion divided by 14 million is about £1,714. Or £33 a week per household. No doubt a welcome amount for the families concerned, but hardly enough to bring about any permanent improvement in their condition. Even if it is used to improve services rather than as a cash payment, £24 billion divided amongst 40 million is not going to be able to provide much of an improvement. But perhaps the mass that is to benefit from this redistribution is not to be as large as that. In an article in The Guardian on the 30th of July, introducing the new party, Corbyn wrote that one of its policies would be to make the wealthiest in society pay a bit more in tax to ensure that everyone should live in dignity. About 20% of the population are considered to live in poverty. If the £24 billion were to be divided only amongst the bottom 20%, some 5.6 million, the amount per household would be £4,286, or an extra £82.42 a week. This would certainly help, but whether it would be enough to allow them to live in dignity is another matter. The original tweet went on to say the mass distribution of wealth and power intended to fix the crisis in our society would mean bringing energy, water, rail and mail into public ownership. But what about the rest of production? Seemingly, that is to rest in private capitalist hands. So the Our Society the new party is talking about is present-day capitalist society of minority class ownership and production for profit. Creating an egalitarian society through a redistribution of wealth within capitalism is a pipe dream, as it goes against the logic of the system. Capitalism is based on a minority owning the means of wealth production and on these being used to generate profits that are accumulated as more wealth for the owners. Inequality of wealth ownership and the tendency for the wealthy to get wealthier are built into the system. Attempting to counter this will mean that a new party will end up being a mere party of protest, spending its time criticising the government for not doing what it demands and resisting when the workings of the capitalist economy force the government to make things worse. Cooking the Books 2, Lord Desai's retort. The Times obituary, 4th of August, of the economist Lord Desai, who died at the end of July, recounted the following anecdote. Marx wasn't against home ownership. In fact, he owned his own house. Desai insisted when challenged about his own two properties. What Marx was against, he added, was using property to exploit workers. Marx had no objection to the ownership of consumer durables. The person who challenged him was being silly, as nobody can seriously think that the common ownership and abolition of private property that socialists such as Marx advocated meant the common ownership of personal possessions. As Desai pointed out, Marx was objecting to the ownership and use of productive resources to exploit workers by the owners appropriating as theirs a portion of what workers produce. As the Communist Manifesto put it, the distinguishing feature of communism is not the abolition of property generally, but the abolition of bourgeois property. Communism deprives no man of the power to appropriate the products of society. All that it does is to deprive him of the power to subjugate the labour of others by means of such appropriations. As a lecturer and author of a number of books on Marx in economics, even if he didn't really agree with them, Desai could also have referred his challenger to the passage at the end of the penultimate chapter of Volume 1 of Capital. The capitalist mode of appropriation, the result of the capitalist mode of production, produces a capitalist private property. This is the first negation of individual private property as founded on the labour of the proprietor. But capitalist production begets, with the inexorability of a law of nature, its own negation. It is the negation of negation. This does not re-establish private property for the producer, but gives him individual property based on the acquisition of the capitalist era, that is, on cooperation and the possession in common of the land and of the means of production. In other words, socialism, or communism, the same thing, means that everybody would be able to appropriate products of society as their individual property to use or consume. Everybody would be able to take from or make use of what society had produced according to their individual needs. Actually, property is probably not the best word here. Individual possession would be better. Property is a legal as well as a sociological concept, and it can be doubted that a socialist society would need a formal system of regulation to protect what one person had taken from society for their use from being taken by somebody else. After all, why would somebody want to take someone else's food or clothes or mobile phone or whatever when they could simply go and get it from a distribution centre or order over the internet? It is also possible to imagine that people wouldn't need to possess a whole range of consumer durables but could borrow them when needed from a local tool library. Housing raises a different question. If only because people normally want to use the same living space for decades. Today, a house or flat, for those who own or who are buying one, is not simply a personal possession that they can use, but also a financial asset. Obviously, that aspect, and so the sort of individual legal ownership we know today, would not exist in socialism. Everybody would be guaranteed an exclusive place to live in for as long as needed. But we can imagine it being more like usufruct, as the agreed exclusive right to use and benefit from a property without owning it.
You've You've been listening to World Socialist Radio, produced by the Socialist Party of Great Britain. To find out more and to take out a free trial subscription to the Socialist Standard, visit spgb.net/podcast.